going.
Welcome back to Breaking the Plane Podcast. My name is Joe. I am your host alongside Burge. How are we doing today, man?
Oh, you know, another day in paradise here, man. Luckily, I'm here today. I wasn't even supposed to be on this episode.
I'm glad we called an audible. We hit X right before the snap.
The weather called an audible.
The goddamn meteorologists are the reason I'm here.
Before we get too far in here, we are brought to you by Primetime Productions. You can find them on Twitter. You can find them on Google, TikTok, everywhere. I think we're there everywhere now. Bunch of different new handles covering every single sport you can imagine. Guys writing, guys have podcasts. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of. Hogan, what's up, bro? Podcast number two as a full-timer. How we doing, man?
Oh, just, you know, absolutely beautiful. I was looking forward to Burge missing today, but we can't win them all, right? I mean, I picked Kansas City to win, so I got that right. But Burge being here, you win some, you lose some.
You got to come peacock. You got to take your wins with your losses, but you got to come peacock. You deserve it. Kojak, what's up, buddy? How you doing? Long time no see.
Hey, pal. Yeah, I'm back. I'm not dying. I hope my audio works well. I did miss last week's episode, and this was Hogan's first episode last week. So I do want to say welcome to the pod, Hogan. excuse me. Wow. You were great the first time we had you on. Relax. You were great the first time we had you on. Love meeting people who know football. So this should be fun. Get to hear you talk and less Burge, which is always a plus. So.
Hey, you know the way to my heart already. I love hearing it. I love hearing it. Less Burge, more me. Absolutely.
Yeah. I love that too.
Thanks. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
What? At least I'm just happy we don't have to eulogize the pod member.
You asked all of us how we were, so I asked you how you were.
Oh, how am I doing? I'm doing pretty good, bro. Like Hogan just said, I was fucking right, as per usual. We did the perfect emotional hedge. You put money on the team that you don't want to win in your heart, but you know in your mind. But then you just hedge it with the fact that even if they end up fucking losing, cool. Your emotions, you get the happiness instead of the money. So, obviously, it played out where we got the money this week, which is honestly, I'm okay with that, especially this time of year. Yeah, I don't know. I was just glad this game didn't turn out to be as shitty as like the first two quarters were. Like I don't want to call it a snooze fest because like defense is always fun, but it wasn't the best played game. There was like a lot of like I think like the best two players in the fucking first half were like one of the kicker and the punters. Like I think those guys were shining in the first half. And who the fuck is 84 on the Niners? That dude was balling out on fucking kick coverage.
It's like Conley. Conley.
Yeah, he had a fucking he was the one who like clotheslined. What's his name?
Yeah.
I think that it was ironic that they changed the Super Bowl rules. I mean, they changed the overtime rules in the playoffs, and the first time it plays out is in the fucking Super Bowl. But yeah, Burge, what did you think? What do you got any like kind of overarching thoughts about this game before we kind of get into the nitty gritty?
You guys are all wussies for not picking with your heart. I'll say that. You guys weren't making massive bets to make, you know, make a life-changing decision there.
Burge is unit shaming right now.
Go with it.
I just want to let you guys all know.
I am.
He's unit shaming right now.
I am.
He's not even fucking betting at all.
He just bought his first property.
As a Patriots fan, you have to root against these Kansas City Chiefs.
He doesn't talk about it. He ain't about it. Be about it.
All right. That mute button's about to come out right now. I'm just going to lay it on that. No, seriously, though, the first half of that game, that was actually the kind of game I wanted to see. I wanted to see a defensive battle. I wanted to see turnovers. It was, to be honest with you, it was a little bit of sloppy football in that first half with both teams. You know, San Francisco rolling on that first drive, and then McCaffrey, of all people, puts the ball on the ground and just stops all the momentum that they had because they were moving at will. And then, you know, on the other side, Kansas City, right after, what was it, like a 50-yard bomb that Mahomes threw, the next play, Pacheco fumbled, puts the ball on the ground, gives it right back to San Francisco. I mean, it was just back and forth in the first half. It was entertaining for me as like kind of a diehard fan. I get why casual fans would be turned off. You're not seeing the 40-30 shootout in the Super Bowl, but you know, it was it was entertaining for me at the end of the day. Obviously, I hated the end result. Let's be real. Like, the overtime rules really didn't have an impact on this, because regardless of the new rules versus the old rules, how that played out was exactly how it would have played out in years past, because San Francisco only kicked a field goal. I think what's more wild to me is that the 49ers players coming out saying they didn't even know that the rules had changed. Mm. And we'll get into that in a little bit, I'm sure. But, you know, end of the day, it was exciting. It went to almost went to double overtime, which would have been wild to see that happen. Yeah. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was an entertaining game. I hated the result. Like, dude, I sat there and watched them celebrate and just, like, hate watched it. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. And then
Stephon Diggs, you were sitting in the other team's confetti in the end zone.
Oh yeah, I was. You know, I sat through it. I sat through it for a little bit. I didn't watch them do the trophy or anything, because I was like, I got better things to do. But, you know, at the end of the day, it is what it is. It sucked. I hated it. And then you coming in the Discord, going off, Mr. Fraud Boy over here.
Dude, he's at my house. How the fuck do you think I feel?
I was ready to throw my phone out the window.
Screaming.
Whoa, I was, dude, that was, I was like a 3 out of 10 on the scale of fucking Joe this weekend.
You did so well, I will say. I've seen all you right. Pretty high up there. No, I'm just saying. I've been crazy. You did well. Appreciate it. Yeah. I was impressed on how well you did.
The pulled pork was.
But I also
so
like seeing you get all wild up and tense, like.
Dude, but it's like, dude, that's what sports is about, dude. Fan. It's like, I don't have like much of my life to be super, super passionate about. Upset, yeah, maybe like my relationship and my career, and like sports are fun, 100%. Bro. That's, you gotta have fun. All right, Hogan. Yeah.
It's a good gateway from art.
For me?
No, sorry for interrupting, Kyle. No, sorry. Sorry, buddy.
It's all good. All good.
Hogan, I got a question for you.
I got an answer
for you. Does this cement a dynasty in Kansas City?
Unfortunately, yes. That's the Homer Patriot fan in me talking. But it is what it is. You know, what is it, 3 in 5 years back-to-back? It's their fourth time going to the Super Bowl. The biggest question I have going forward is, are they going to be able to retain and return to the Super Bowl going forward? Because we got all the questions surrounding, you know, Andy Reid's future. I mean, Kelce, he's not a young pup anymore. A lot of people don't realize that Kelce's actually the same age as Gronk. Wow. They came out different times, but Kelce and Gronk are actually the exact same age. So there's a lot of wear and tear there. So it's a question of, is he going to continue his career? Is he going to choose to go somewhere else? I mean, it's hard to imagine another quarterback throwing the ball to Kelce. But again, I mean, it almost happened with Gronk, right? Didn't he turn down the trade to Detroit and everything? Yeah. That would have been wild. Yeah. But either way, it's to go back to your question, it's absolutely 100% a Chiefs dynasty, which pains me. It pains me because I don't want it. Like I said, Burge, I told you, I didn't want the Chiefs to win. I picked them to win, okay? You got to listen. Open your ears next time, buddy, okay? no, but it's their dynasty, and until somebody knocks them off, it's their king of the hill. That's where we're at.
How's that make you feel, Burge?
I hate it, but I agree with them. They absolutely are a dynasty. There's no denying the fact that they went back-to-back, the first team to do it in 20 years, and it sucks. It sucks as a fan of the Patriots. I hated the whole lead up to the Super Bowl, everything to go around it, the talk about, is Mahomes the GOAT already? All the talk that we're going to have to listen to now because he won this game. I'm dreading having to read about it and see it in, you know, my Twitter sphere, because I follow all NFL and all that stuff. So I'm going to see it. But absolutely, yeah. And the question marks that Hogan raises there are valid. But if I'm the Chiefs and Kelce's coming back, Reed's coming back, you know, they're able, I think they're going to be able to retain a majority of their defensive unit. I know Chris Jones is a free agent after this year. So whether or not he comes back, we'll see.
Isn't, they had Snead or McDuffie, one of those two is
Snead. I think it's Snead because McDuffie's on a rookie deal. But
Oh, yeah.
But if I'm them and I'm able to bring back, you know, a majority of that core, I'm going all in to get another wide receiver target, either in free agency or via trade or trading up in the draft to get one another weapon for Patrick Mahomes, because I've talked about this offline with you guys and some of my buddies. It's like, if there was any a year for the Chiefs to get knocked off, this was the year.
Yep.
Their offense looked inept at times throughout the season. Their defense, you know, they were able to ride the D. Pause.
Yes.
But they were able to ride the D to the Super Bowl. Their defense was outstanding in this game. You know, coupled, you know, we'll get into the whole 49er side of things, but it's pains me as a Patriots fan, as kind of an NFL fan. I was really rooting for Mr. Irrelevant to win a Super Bowl, whether or not he was the factor or not. I thought Brock Purdy was really, really good in this game. He just wasn't great. We'll get into it when we talk about the 49ers, but at the end of the day, Chiefs find a way to close it out in overtime when the 49ers couldn't.
Yeah. And I think it goes, like what you said at the end there, like Patrick Mahomes, like they have like that team, like the Reed Mahomes and like Kelsey thing, like that's been together for so long that it's just so like they've been through every scenario. They're so comfortable together. They know exactly what the play call is going to be. It's probably going to be one of three play calls in these XYZ scenario. You know what I mean? Like that play that they had on 4th-and-1 where it was a run pass option to Mahomes. Like, dude, they don't run the tush push anymore because Mahomes broke his knee the other, like, a couple years ago on its QB sneak. So, like, I don't know. Like, you don't think they're going to put Mahomes in an RPO on the edge where, like, he reads, like, the crashing defensive end, whether he wants to, like, take it, like, himself or throw it to Kelsey on, like, the under route. So, I don't know. It's just it's fun to watch. In my opinion, it's fun to watch just because I think that, like, greatness should be appreciated no matter what. And I think that at this time, Mahomes is the greatest athlete in his era, and he should be, like, revered and respected that way. Is he Tom Brady? Is he anywhere close to the greatest of all time? No. But of his era, I think that he's been in the league for, what, 6 years? He's been a starter. I think he deserves a little bit of his flowers. Not like he doesn't get them already, but like I want to kind of throw it out there that I think that what he's doing deserves like a lot of attention. Like he's going to get, like you said, they're going to get a lot of attention, but I think a lot of it's warranted. I mean, they're the first team to go back to back in 20 years and they traded the best player on their team 2 years, like in Tyreek Hill, and then went back to back. Like it's just, I don't know. It just shows that like the quarterback means more than ever, and having the best one right now is a massive advantage.
Really quick before we jump into San Francisco, I got to point out the whole Kelsey exchange with Reed.
Yeah.
We talked about that in the Discord and I made you guys laugh because I was like, yeah, biggest hit of the night so far is Kelsey on Fat Boy Reed. But like, are you like, this cements for me personally, that's why I can't stand the Chiefs, but B, Kelsey specifically, because he is such a douchebag. And like, I feel like his picture is like in the dictionary right next to that word douchebag, because it's things like that. Like there's a time and place, and I get there's a frustration and it boils over. That some, like, on what planet can you tell me that any other player could do that to a coach and get away with it? And the only reason I can imagine that Reed let it slide is because it was the fucking Super Bowl and he had to have Kelsey out on the field. But like, dude, we still don't know what Malcolm Butler got benched for. And like, could you imagine that happening to Bill? Could you imagine Gronk hitting Bill like that? Like the repercussions of that, or anybody else? I just, that rubbed me the wrong way so bad when I saw that. Like, obviously it was kind of, we were joking, but what the fuck was that? I don't know if you guys have anything to talk about on that. Like, I just drove me nuts.
The thing that I want to bring up is that like Pacheco fumbled that ball on after that play. And that happened after that fumble. If Kelsey's on the field in that play, the fumble still happens. He was not on the field for one reason on that play.
Because they were running.
He's not Gronk and he's not an elite blocker. That's the reason he was not on the field. And yeah, I hated that. I laughed at it because I'm like, haha, Chiefs are imploding. Obviously that didn't happen, but like, That kind of stuff is ridiculous. Emotions obviously were running high at that point, but you just don't do that. And that's what makes, like you, Hogan, that's what makes him so unlikable. On top of everything else that's been surrounding him throughout this entire season, doing something like that to your old, not to mention one of the best coaches in league history. I'll go that far to say that Andy Reid has hit that. I've never been a fan of him, but like what he's done over the last 5-6 years with the Chiefs, starting with Alex Smith and then going to Patrick Mahomes has been outstanding. He's, in my opinion, more of a reason they won that Super Bowl in the second half than what Patrick Mahomes did, because of how he called that offense and how he coached in that second half. He outclassed Kyle Shanahan in that second half, and that's why.
I kind of feel like Shanahan might be a little bit more responsible for his own demise than Reed is, but I definitely agree with you that he got pants in the second half of that game, especially towards the end in overtime. But back on the Kelce thing, dude, was it just me or was that Kansas City sideline kind of hot all night? Like they had that happen, and then they had the Rasheed Rice, like in the late in the game, like, and him and Mahomes going back and forth. So like that just goes back to like what, like, bro, like they're like, they just, some teams like they, like you used to see like Tom Brady fucking screaming at his offensive linemen and screaming at coaches, even coaches sometime at Bill O'Brien. And like, I think that there's, especially at the, in the Kelce play, there's a line, right? You know what I mean? Like passion's good. You need a lot of passion. That's the biggest game of the year. You know what I mean? That could be the biggest game of a lot of people's lives, especially if they're floating it out there that they think Kelce might retire after this fucking speech that he gave. So, yeah, I think it was incredible how they can kind of harness that emotion and kind of overcome kind of like a couple different little spats in that game, and still keep it between the lines and still keep the team motivated in like a good way. You know what I mean? They had a couple stupid fucking penalties, but I don't think it really hurt them too much. Just a couple stupid ones in the first half. But I don't know. Other than those two spats on the sidelines, I think they played like a really tight game in the second half, and it kind of shows like a team that's like used to being there every fucking year versus a team that's like loading up. They crater load up, kind of like the Niners. Because I mean, they made it to the Super Bowl and then the conference finals three out of the last five seasons. But I think the other two seasons they didn't make the playoffs or something like that. Yeah, so it's literally like they're in the fucking conference finals and they don't fucking make the playoffs. So anyway,
real quick, yeah. you brought up the refs. I just want to touch on this. I thought they were really good in this game.
Impeccable.
Like they were not showing up in the big moments. They were letting some of the stuff go and they were consistent about it. So I've been highly critical of the NFL officials this year, but in the biggest moment, Bill Vinovich and his crew, I thought they officiated a great game. I just wanted to make sure I got that out there.
For sure. And I think that, that you hit the nail on the head when you said that they weren't a factor. I think that the later these games get in the season, the bigger the games are. Like, unless it's an egregious penalty where you're doing something against the rules that directly affects the outcome of the game, like, just let it the fuck go. Like, just
and early on, I thought they were going to insert themselves because they were throwing flags left and right in the first quarter, and then they put them away. Which was good.
Honestly, I think they towed that line perfectly because they got the game under control. Because dude, the first quarter of that game, dude, those players had no regard for human life. There was a couple hits, and I was like, holy fuck, dude. But yeah, so I think that they kind of towed a line perfectly there, where they threw a couple personal fouls, a couple procedural penalties to kind of make sure that the players know that, like, all right, come on, guys, like, you guys can play physical, but just make sure you keep it between the whistles, which is, I think, exactly how you want.
100%.
Last thing I want to do on the Chiefs here is, Burge, you talked about the future and keeping these guys together. What do we think the future of Reed and then Kelce is? It's been floated both that they might be done soon, maybe even as soon as after this season.
I don't think Reed's going anywhere. You haven't heard that come from him in any kind of way. That's all been kind of rumors. And I think he's 65 or 66 years old. He's getting up there, but he's not there yet. And why would you not want to marry yourself to a guy like Patrick Mahomes to continue a chance, maybe at a three-peat that hasn't been done since like the 70s with the Steelers? Maybe I don't even remember when the last three-peat was, but why wouldn't you stick around for that? Especially when he's in earshot of catching all of what Bill Belichick has done already. Like, and he's got a really good shot to surpass him at this point. So I don't think he's going anywhere. I think Kelce, that speech after the game, you know, I don't want to get into it, but like, he's just like Hogan put it, a douchebag. But I think it's more likely that he hangs it up after this year than Andy Reid. He's getting older. He's obviously got the relationship with
He's not the breadwinner.
He's not the breadwinner. He doesn't have to keep playing. He doesn't have to keep playing. And, you know, let's see maybe what they do. I don't think it's going to be announced anytime soon that he's going to hang it up. I think he might hang around to see what the Chiefs are able to do in terms of loading the roster again for next year and then make a decision.
I hope he turns into one of those, like, never doesn't play the preseason, doesn't do any of that shit, and just shows up on week one. Cause I like watching Travis Kelce play, even though how much people like hate on him because he's not like a quote unquote.
You would.
Like, I do agree with that. But dude, he's an excellent route runner, dude. He had one route, dude. He had shook a guy out of his boots. And then the next fucking route, it was like a third and short. And he like absolutely loaded the boom on some like defensive back and like got the first down. I was like, all right, dude, at least he shows up like physically in those big games. But did you see that he was that was the fastest he's ever been recorded running 19.8 miles an hour in that game? So it's like, dude, they must be so fucking hopped up on adrenaline.
It's adrenaline. I'm just fucking around.
what's your take on the future in KC down there?
I like to see them. They're going to run it back. I think they're going to bring everybody back. They're going to throw the money that they want at Kelce or whoever else if they need to. Chris Jones is going to get paid. That defense is too damn good to fall off. I mean, their defense has been actually pretty phenomenal the last two seasons now, but this year was a special season for them.
They've been climbing.
That's it. And with Spags there, the big thing, I think, believe it or not, as much as we want to talk about Kelce and Reed, is Spagnuolo. If he leaves, we got a whole new slate to talk about. But as long as Spags is there and they bring everybody back, like Kojak mentioned in chat, no team's ever won three in a row. Are we going to see it? There's a high potential there, because right now, who's going to dethrone the Chiefs if everybody comes back? They did it this year. They could do it again.
Yeah, Max. Yeah, I was just going to say, I totally agree. I think as long as you have Mahomes, like, you're going to have, like, a better shot than any other team in the league to win a Super Bowl. I don't care what the team is. I mean, dude, that they – I think they said it in, like, the first drive. The 49ers have four all-team four first-team all-pro players on offense. It's insane, dude. That's insane. Let's get over to Burge's team from Sunday. The San Francisco 49ers. They come up short again. Kyle Shanahan blows another lead. His third one in the Super Bowl, you could call it, as the offensive coordinator for the Falcons, 28-3. Then he had another 10-point lead versus the Chiefs the first time they played. I think that was into the fourth quarter as well. And then he had a lead in this game, ended up giving it up. He gives them all up to Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady, but there is something to be said about him in those spots. What was your take, Burge, on Kyle Shanahan as a whole, the 49ers as a whole, and then if somebody wants to pick up and run with the decision in overtime as well?
Thought they were great out of the gate. Both sides of the ball, great game plan for the first half. They came out on the first drive and they had their way, as I touched on a little bit earlier. Obviously, the CMC fumble, you don't expect that to happen. You can't put that on the head coach. But that was a bit disappointing to see that happen. You know, defensively, they were getting at Mahomes. They were getting pressure. They were sacking him. And if they weren't sacking him, they were hitting him, which is exactly how you can knock a guy like him off his game. If you're containing him in the pocket and you're able to hit him, even if he completes a pass and you're making him, you know, feel your presence there, you're doing what you need to do. And I thought,
speaking of the defense, Burge, did anybody else catch Greenlaw get hurt?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
I was going to touch on that.
That's a huge part with the defense, right? Like, you were talking about the pressure and stuff. So much changed when he got hurt, and the way he got hurt. Oh, that's the worst.
You know, just to say, like, I think that was a major deciding factor into the reason why the second half went the way it did for the Chiefs. Cause I think the guy that they brought in, I think his name is Oren Burks or Brooks or something like that, that they brought in.
He had a hyphenated last name and fucking Kelce.
No, it's somebody different. That ended up playing his position in the second half. I think his last name was Burks, but you look at the stat line on him. I saw it. I don't have it handy right now, but he got lit up in the passing game in the second half. And you know, Drake Greenlaw, didn't he have an intercept? He had the interception of Mahomes in the first half, I believe, before he got hurt.
I can't remember.
I think
I
it
don't
was
think so. I think it was Greenlaw. It was a safety. If Warner was in coverage, but I think there was a safety behind that intercepted it, if I'm not mistaken.
Jair Brown.
You're right. Yep. You're right. Okay.
I'm sorry. Say that again. Say that again.
Brown.
Joe, you're right. Joe, you're right.
No. Burgess, say I'm right. That yeah. Please.
ladies.
All seriousness, I thought that they had an outstanding first half game plan. They came out. They did what they needed to do, even late in the game. You know, we talked about the fumble of Pacheco. That was all caused by the defense. You know, to seize the momentum back. They held Kansas City to a field goal inside the 10, I want to say it was, at the end of the second half, to kick a field goal to make it 10-3 going into half as opposed to 10-7. A huge play. But the second half, all on Kyle Shanahan in my eyes. I don't really fault – maybe a little bit on Steve Wilks on that drive in overtime, but – Kyle Shanahan, you know, I was screaming, like, why did they go away from running the ball? And you could throw the whole average at me as to what it was ended up at the end of the day. I think, Joe, you were trying to chirp me on that they were running 3.6 yards a carry.
It was successful. But
they went away from it completely. You took the entire threat of your best player out of the game in the third quarter, and you lost the game at that point. I think I remember sending it in the Discord. I was like, this game's over. Like, Kansas City's got to find a way to win this game now because of how they have managed the third quarter. Brock Purdy, I thought he played extremely well. Good. He was not elite. He was not able to make the play he needed to make when he needed to make it, unlike the guy on the other side, unlike the other guy on the sideline. If they score a touchdown at the end of that game and in overtime, who knows? Kansas City plays it completely differently on that drive.
Was it, Brandon Ayuk fucking wide open and he overthrew
him? He overthrew him. Pressure was there.
You could say Mahomes might make that play over Brock Purdy. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So at the end of the day, I was very unhappy with the second half and how they played. They were very soft. I think it was either in overtime or on the tying field goal drive in the end of regulation, where I think it was like 2nd and 14 for Mahomes and company, and Steve Wilks, the defensive coordinator for San Francisco, had about 6 or 7 guys 10 yards back from the line of scrimmage in any receiver and given them 8-9 yards to make it a 3rd and 4 versus a 3rd and 8 or 9. If you're playing the coverage way too soft at the end of regulation. So, you know, you knew the field goal was coming. They're lucky that San Francisco was lucky that game didn't end in regulation with Kansas City because of the way that drive went. The decision in overtime, I touched on it a little bit before. 49ers players coming out and saying they didn't know the rules changed. Huge red flag right there on the coaching staff. 100% on Kyle Shanahan at the end of the day. I don't necessarily hate the decision to take the ball, regardless of that, because their defense was just on the field for a long period of time for Mahomes to, you know, go down and tie the game, give the defense a breather, let your offense go out there. You had success during the game, moving the ball in chunks at times. So I don't hate the decision, but the fact that the players are coming out, a respected player like Kyle Juszczyk coming out and saying that we didn't know the rules changed. That's bad.
They were reading it off the Jumbotron. That's crazy.
That's wild. So that's kind of where I sit.
Getting back to some of the stuff you said at the beginning, it triggered me. I was thinking it during the game. I was just like, dude, Kansas City's getting outplayed like crazy, and they're keeping this close right now. There's no this is exactly the kind of game that like these great QBs like Patrick Mahomes, like Tom Brady, like Peyton Manning. If you let them linger around long enough, they're gonna figure something out and they're gonna come through. Hogan, what do you think about the Niners and them? Their kind of Shanahan's decisions kind of throughout the game in that second half into overtime.
I mean, Burgess pretty much hit the nail on the head with everything that he said. I shockingly can't find a reason to disagree with him for once. Don't get cocky, kid. Don't get cocky. No, but for real though, it's the same old tale again. Like you guys touched on with Atlanta, with San Francisco against Chiefs in the first round of the Super Bowl, 4 years, 5 years ago, whatever it was. It's unfortunate, because at the end of the day, I do think Shanahan is a pretty good coach. He's above average as far as I'm concerned with when you look at the talent pool of NFL coaches currently. He's got to be in the top tier because of what he's been able to do with that team. Granted, they're stacked. They're stacked. Like you said, Joe, they have four all pros. They trade away picks for MVP players every other week, it seems like. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they always end up falling short is just, I don't know. At the end of the day, I can't help but think that, is it a Shanahan thing? Is it the team dynamic? Will it come back to haunt them going forward if they keep going this route, where if they don't make any major changes or if they decide to stick with Purdy? Like Burgess said, I think Purdy played a really, really good game for his capability. With the talent around him, I mean, you got to take into consideration Deebo Samuel got hurt for a good chunk of that game as well. That changed a lot as soon as he got hurt. George Kittle was
a ghost.
Was he there? I honestly don't even know if he was at the Super Bowl. And then Ayuk, I don't know if you guys have seen all the crap that's going on what is it, social media and Instagram.
Oh, yeah,
dude. Ayuk,
yeah.
Three catches, and his brother. Dude, I'm telling you right now.
His brother, his girlfriend.
Yeah, if I'm an NFL player, like, I am disowning my family if they go on social media on my behalf. I mean, between the Ayuk stuff this year. Well, but no, between all the Ayuk stuff that's coming out right now, I don't know if you guys saw the stuff with like Micah Parsons' brother earlier this year too, with like when Dallas lost, like he posted something like, Dallas doesn't deserve my brother. He's going to get the fuck out of there. And it's just like, all this crap coming out now, it's already bad enough you lost, but like, pump the brakes on all those.
Keep it together. Yeah.
And again, we go back to what you were talking about with the Chiefs, where they were chirping each other on the sideline. As horrendous and bad as it looked, that team has the experience to get through that kind of stuff to win at the end of the day, where San Francisco, yet again, can't do it.
I do want to throw in real quick a stat about Shanahan. I think he's one of like seven or eight coaches that have been with a team for 7 years, not won a Super Bowl, and actually still kept their jobs. Like, most guys that don't win a Super Bowl when they've been with a team that long are gone. And funny thing is the guy on the other sideline was one of them with Andy Reid in Philadelphia. Yeah. But like, you see that it's the same story. Now it's happened three times to him. And the offensive coordinator in Atlanta, big role in the reason why the Patriots came back and won that game. His play calling late in that game was awful. And now that he's blown leads in the fourth quarter, second half, we'll call it the second half of two Super Bowls, you got to think, like, is San Fran going to be ready for a change? Like, at some point, they got to figure out, like, they've reached their ceiling with this guy. Time to move on and get somebody in here, because there was no excuse for them to blow that with the amount of talent that roster has, especially with the way that their quarterback has played.
You were talking about stats. Oh, sorry, Joe. Real quick, the stat thing. I saw something today that I actually didn't know when I saw it. Did you know that Patrick Mahomes, in all three Super Bowls he's won, has come back from a 10-point deficit?
It's awesome.
Philly, makes sense.
I had no idea. Philly, that's awesome. Was down by 10 going into the fourth quarter. He was down by 10 at what? Right before halftime in Sunday's game. And then he was down by 10 going into the fourth quarter against the 49ers in the first Super Bowl. So it's like, you sit here and it's mind boggling again to go to the testament to the greatness of what Mahomes is doing right now. Even if you get a lead on the guy, you still can't beat him. It's wild. Sorry. Go ahead, Joe.
No worries. Good input, obviously. No, I just wanted Burrish, just like what you were saying. I wanted to take a page out of your book. I know, I understand what you're saying about Shanahan. He doesn't seem to get him over the hump. How many coaches? I know there's one, obviously. How many coaches are really an upgrade, though? I think that there's one obvious one that's an upgrade for maybe three or four seasons. But I want to see what Shanahan like. I don't care about all these ancillary pieces, like having two all-pro wide receivers, like having all these crazy pieces on like both sides of the ball, like all these crazy pieces on the front seven. Like, maybe strip some of those and go get a quarterback. Like, maybe go get go upgrade at that position instead of like getting rid of your coach. Like, maybe change what he has to work with, because this dude's obviously an offensive guru. And when you take a guy like Andy Reid, for example. When you take it like guys like fucking Donovan McNabb away from him and you give him a lot of guys like Patrick Mahomes, he magically starts winning Super Bowls. So I know that obviously Patrick Mahomes is like, don't fucking grow on trees. But I think that I agree, Burge. I agree that he's been there long enough. He needs to get over the hump, especially with the fucking roster that he's had. But I think that if he is going to get one more shot, I would like to see them make a change at the quarterback position and maybe not load up everywhere, kind of like switch the mold from that one style to a different one.
I don't hate that. I push back. The only pushback I have is you get to a certain point where you plateau and you maybe want to look to a different way. But I will say this, the comparison between Reed and Shanahan in terms of their history is uncanny. Now this was posted on Twitter earlier today or yesterday regarding this, but Andy Reid's first appearances deep in playoffs, 2001 NFC Championship loss, 2002 NFC Championship loss, 2003 NFC Championship loss, 2004 Super Bowl loss, 2019 for Shanahan Super Bowl loss, 2021 championship game loss, 2022 championship game lost, 2023 Super Bowl loss. So it's kind of like that, almost that same trajectory with where Reed was at the beginning of the career, which is why I was like, he's overrated as hell before he started going on this run. I've switched my tune on that. But it's kind of like the same thing when Kyle Shanahan is younger, he's running into these issues that he's having. So we'll see if that Shanahan is able to adapt. And what you just pointed out, maybe you go out and you get the quarterback and, you learn your lesson for not signing Tom Brady in 2020 for your team, because you're probably a dynasty right now if you do that.
Imagine.
Imagine what that would look like. Imagine what that would have looked like for that team if he signs him in 2020. That they don't lose. In my opinion, they win 3 Super Bowls in the last 4 years if they have Tom Brady, because Mahomes won't beat Brady.
Yeah, they definitely win 2 for sure. I think they.
Yeah.
Because Brady won in 2020, and then what, they lost in 2021 to the Chiefs. So yeah, I think you could probably go. You could probably give those two to the 49ers if Brady's on the on their squad. But one last thing we got to touch upon, dude. Just because, yo. So for the first 95% of that game, I was like, yo, dude, they've shown T Swift fucking twice. And then for the last 5 minutes in overtime, it's they ran out of fucking material. And they were oh, fuck, there's fucking T-Swift. And I was just dude, you know how many other famous people are in that box? It was fucking dude, they had CeCe Sabathia was there and shit like that, dude. It was just it was just so funny. It's such a funny – it was fucking T-Swift, Ice Spice, Blake Lively, CeCe Sabathia. It was just I don't know. They were just
who the hell is Ice Spice? I had no idea who that person was.
I said this. I said the same thing. I said the exact same thing. And
she's got her own drink at Dunkin'.
My wife turned to me. She's like, "You don't know Ice Spice?" And I'm like, "I why would I be asking if I didn't know who the fuck she was?"
Obviously,
I
don't fart. Know.
I'm okay with that if I don't know who Ice Spice is. Sorry.
They did a good job not focusing on her during the camera of the Super Bowl. I will say that. You saw her towards the end of the game as it was going and the Chiefs way and all that. They did a good job not really talking about her and doing that whole thing. But the pregame coverage, I don't know if you guys watched any of that. I turned it on when I got home from work.
That's what the waste management's for, Chris. You got to watch some golf on
Sunday. No, but I was all in on the Super Bowl on Sunday. I got home from work. I want to introduce my kids to the Super Bowl. I taught my kid to say Super Bowl, so he understands it now. But as soon as I turned it on, my wife had left to go to the store and came back. I'm like, you've been gone for 20 minutes. 18 of the minutes that you were gone, they talked about Taylor Swift, and that's all that it was. I wanted to turn it off, but I was committed to the Super Bowl and I didn't do it. But my God, are they going to milk this next year if Kelsey comes back? Are they going to milk it? Absolutely are. They absolutely are. CBS came out today and said it was the most watched telecast of all time, or Paramount came out and said it. The reason why it was, wasn't because of the Super Bowl. It was because she was at the Super Bowl and her boyfriend was on the Kansas City Chiefs. That's the reason.
The only thing that bothered me was right when Kansas City scored the game-winning touchdown in overtime, they literally cut to her. I think it was 3 seconds after the guy caught the touchdown. And that the only reason that bothers me is as a football fan and a former football player and stuff, show me the football players. No offense. It's not about her at that moment. It's about the guys who won the fucking game. Show her after, show all the crap after. I don't care at that point. It is what it is. But that's a moment for those guys that they're going to forever remember and just enjoy that moment. And for the national telecast to cut to a singer who has nothing to do with the game on the field, like, come on, man.
Especially just, for a guy like Mekhi Harmon, who has been like bounce around.
Yeah. Because wasn't he with the Jets? Wasn't he with
the Jets?
The Jets
earlier this year, and they traded him back to the Chiefs. Like, he's bounced around. He's had some hardship. Like, keep it on him for this moment. Absolutely. 100% agree.
He didn't even know he won, dude. He was just like looking around, like, why the fuck is everybody going nuts?
Did he have to read the Jumbotron, like the 49ers players?
Oh, my God.
Kelce watched the play on the Jumbotron.
Yeah.
Bro, that last drive by the Chiefs was just magical, dude. That's like, that's just like,
thank you, Steve Wilkes.
Greatness personified, bro. That's greatness personified. It's like watching MJ or fucking Tom Brady in the fourth quarter. That's fucking, that's the best. That's the best of the best. You can't get better than that right now. What, Burge, you just got, at some point, you just got to accept that he's great, bro.
I accept the greatest. I am not denying
he is, dude. He's this generation's Tom Brady, dude. He's this generation's Michael Jordan, dude. He is transcending multiple, like, he is the guy, and it's not even just in the NFL, dude. He is the guy, like, in American fucking sports, dude. He is the most polarizing athlete in American sports, and he's fucking clutch as a motherfucker to back it up, dude. It's I guarantee it's so easy to hate. I understand that, dude, and especially as a Pats fan. But just, I don't know. I used to fucking hate him, and when I was like when Tom Brady was still on the Pats, and like we still had a shot to beat him and shit like that. But like now that like I kind of really don't have a fucking horse in the race, I just like every time we lose, every time we play the Chiefs for the next couple of years, if we're not in the fucking playoff hunt, I want to fucking lose so we get a better pick. So it's like until we're on the other side of that, where we need to beat them for seeding and we need to beat them for fucking bragging rights late in the season. Like, dude, I'm gonna be rooting for Pat Mahomes to do cool shit and fucking coming back from 10 points down in that drive in the fucking overtime. Like, that's cool shit. Like, I just want to see cool shit. Like, I don't care what's going on. Like, LeBron's block on Andre Iguodala, like, in game 7 of the NBA Finals when they came back from 3-1 down. Like, that's cool shit. No matter, like, if you're a hater or not, like, dude, I'm not the biggest LeBron guy. I appreciate his greatness. And, like, watching that shot, dude, I fucking hate Kyrie. But his step back, hitting that three in Steph Curry's face, like, right before the block, like, that's just appreciating greatness. And I think that, like, that's quintessential. Like, what happened in the fourth quarter in overtime, what you saw Patrick Mahomes do, is just, like, quintessential, like, best player at the most important time, just outclassing everybody else and just being 10 times more locked in and 10 times more, like, apt to, like, produce in those kind of situations. Sorry, that was long-winded. Just an absolute glazing by Joe. Dude. Yeah. My jaw's tired.
You ready for a revelation? Uh-oh. You ready for it? Next year, Buffalo plays Kansas City in the playoffs. I'm all in on fucking Josh Allen beating his ass.
Whoa.
Oh my God, dude. Whoa. All right.
You got it. I'm there. I am there.
Full circle.
I rooted for Patrick Mahomes this year against Buffalo. It bit me in the ass.
Yeah, you fucking.
Baltimore loses to Buffalo. Beats Buffalo. Baltimore beats Buffalo in that championship game.
100%. 100%.
I am not making the same mistake again. I admit my faults. I will root against Buffalo every other week, but when they play Kansas City, I'm going to be rooting for Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills to beat them. And that is a big revelation for you listeners out there, for me, the biggest Buffalo Bills hater.
Oh, I'm all in.
You're going to get the matchup next year, and I'm going to double down on this.
Well, won't the Chiefs, because it's Clip the it. Bills. Did the Bills win the AFC East? Yeah, the Bills end up winning the AFC East, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Chiefs won the AFC West, so they're going to play in the regular season next year.
Yes,
too.
They are. You're going to hear me say it. Mark it down, clip it.
So it's almost guaranteed, dude. All right, we're all going to throw in. I'm going to put a GoFundMe together for a white number 17.
So angry.
Oh, I am angry. I'm angry about this.
So upset.
He's our resident clown.
I've never seen you like this.
I told you I was going to be in a form tonight. I told you guys. Every time the Kansas City Chiefs win in the playoffs, diminishes my childhood. Or maybe doesn't diminish it, but it.
But your childhood's over.
It replaces it. Yes. Oh, it's well over. Oh, I know. I'm an old fart. I know. But I cling to that.
You're still
beautiful. I'm a very nostalgic person. I got Bill Belichick on the wall behind me. He's no longer the coach of the Patriots. That's going to be up until the day I die.
I think even if Mahomes gets seven, but he doesn't play 21 years of like the best football ever.
That's
like,
better.
There's something to be said about Brady having those 10 years in the middle where they didn't win a Super Bowl. Like he won a Super Bowl at two totally like the Super Bowl he won in 2001 and the Super Bowl he won in 2021 with the Buccaneers. There's like two totally different NFLs. Like, you know what I mean? Those are completely.
Yeah, he wasn't a major factor in that. Those first three. Like, I'd argue that there's more on the coach.
They don't win. They don't win in 03 or 04 or 01.
They probably don't. They were a perfect team. They were a perfect team.
Yeah.
They were a perfect team at that point.
Play there. All right. We got it. Let's save. So let's bottle some of this up. We got May. We got April, Joey, May, June, July.
Rattled up.
Dude, I can get fired up at the drop of a hat, dude. Somebody drop their hat.
I know. I've never seen Burrs like this. He's.
I told you. I told you. I'm on. It's kind of hot. I'm on one right now.
This is wild.
Obviously, I brought a little bit to the podcast by showing up. Yeah. Jack, you missed out on it. So
yeah,
stoking the
fun. This is great.
He's a fucking pyro, dude. You know how you always had those friends growing up that are pyros? Like
he's my pyro. He's my pyro. We'd be walking around.
He's had a shit-eating grin on his face ever since Burge is saying he started rooting for the fucking Bills, dude.
Listen to this. Yep. We'd be walking around high school. This dude would walk up to me, "Hey, what's up, Burge?" And freaking dead arm, and I'd fall into a locker because he fucking nailed me so hard. My arm went completely dead.
Did you
dead.
Hit him back?
Like, that's what it comes to.
Did you hit him back?
Yeah, no, I shoved him. He knew better.
No, he knew better.
He knew better.
I would. He had about 100 pounds on me in high school. Now we're even.
Probably do.
Now, no, we're even now. We're even now.
All right, so smack him up.
He could try.
Anyways.
We live stream it.
Live stream.
That would be a good pay-per-view.
And then Joe and I
guys are rocking rowdy for
Bucks. Hey, you guys are betting guys, right? Let's get the bets going. Who's got me versus Burge? Let's go.
I've seen Burge in person. I've never seen you in person. So height, weight, and reach. Hogan's like a
tall
lot,
dude. How tall are you, Hogan?
He's like the same height as me. He's like the same height as me.
Really? Yeah, you're 6 feet tall?
Yes, I am. Yes.
No, you're not. You're
yes, I am. They've seen me. They've seen me and they know it.
Oh, my God, dude.
Spiraling this episode.
In the car, dude. Everybody fucking chill out. All right. So, Burge was alluding to next season where he's going to be a Buffalo Bills fan. I can't wait.
For 1 week or 2 weeks.
I can't wait to come home to take him to a Bills game to see his favorite team play. So, let's get some predictions for next year. I threw out a couple topics. I want to start with, like, who do you – maybe not your Super Bowl prediction, but who do you think may be in the Final Four? What are the four teams we might see at the end? Kojak, you can go first. What do you – give me two teams from each conference that will be in the fucking the Final Four next year. Don't write checks that your ass can't cash.
I think it's going to be – I think it's going to come down to Baltimore KC out of the AFC.
Okay. Oh, all right. That's unique.
And then I think it's going to be
pause.
Niners Lions.
I was going to say that.
All right. So Kojak thinks we're going to run it back, which I don't think that's that too outlandish. Hogan, what do you think? Do you think we got any outliers coming next year? Do you want to give me like a dark horse or something you can see making a run?
Oh, baby, do Texas I have Super Bowl some dark champs. Horses for you? Did you say Jacksonville?
No, fuck no, Texans. CJ Stroud, baby.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say, come on. All right, no. For my NFC side, they made a little splash this year, which caught me off guard. They were the youngest team in the playoffs. Give me the Green Bay Packers.
I like it.
Green Bay Packers, bro. Yeah, give me them to at least make the Final Four because they got something brewing there, and I didn't expect it watching them during the regular season. But hot damn, what they did to Dallas, and then giving the Niners a run for their money. Yeah, you know what they did in the playoffs. I was very, very, very surprised. But give me the 49ers. Give me the 49ers again to make it, just to fall short yet again. That's just their MO at this point. And then on the AFC side, I'm going to give you a little twofer here. So we got, if the Chiefs return everybody, give me the Chiefs right back where they are. My second team, I'm going to two-part this one. So we got Cincinnati making a surprise return with the comeback player of the year for 2024, Joe Burrow.
T. Higgins. Oh, I love it, Hogan.
Give me Cincinnati. I was rooting for them against the Rams in that Super Bowl because you know what? They've been such a dog shit franchise for so long. Give me Joe Burrow, comeback player of the year. Give me them to knock off the Chiefs and make it back to the Super Bowl.
Burrs, you see my
win it.
That'd be
stole
nice.
Stole my fucking thunder right there, man. Jesus.
Oh, just pick Buffalo and shut the fuck up.
Kick your beer and shut up. NFC side, I'm going with Detroit getting back there. Detroit getting back to that NFC title game. I like to see them build on what they did this year. I think Dan Campbell learned some lessons as to how he handles the playoffs, you know, the next time around. So give me Detroit. I love the Green Bay pick. I didn't want to go that route, but I love it, and I won't be surprised if you're right on that because, like you said, what they did in the playoffs this year, how they went and they freaking blew Dallas out. And they give San Francisco pretty much everything they could handle in that game. Look for them to make a stride. You know, we're big Jordan Love fans here on the podcast. We've kind of raved about him throughout the season this year. I like him to take the next step. Big fan of him coming out of college as well. I like the 49ers to get back there too. Kind of have a rematch of this year. I know it seems like I'm cherry picking that, but, you know, I think that they're going to return a lot of their players. I think they're going to find a way to sign Chase Young. And I think they're going to find a way to, you know, if not, retain their talent like a Brandon Ayuk or something. They'll find a way to trade draft picks or whatever to replace him based on how they handle assets throughout the year. So I like that to happen. On the AFC side, again, Hogan, you stole my thunder. I like Cincinnati to be back there. I like them to get to the Super Bowl. I'll go that far to say that. I like them to get to the Super Bowl next year because they'll have hopefully have a healthy Joe Burrow for a full 17 games. And, you know, kind of continue where they left off in years prior, where they did go to the Super Bowl. They went to the AFC Championship game in years past as well. Like you said, with the news of T. Higgins today coming out, that it sounds like they're going to franchise tag him. Whether or not they're going to try to trade him based on that, or they're going to find a way to figure out that the cap is crap and they're going to make it work. I like that to happen. The second team here, I'm having a little bit of trouble. I'm going to go with the dark horse. Kojak named it. Big fan of C.J. Stroud taking another step. I would love to see a Cincinnati-Houston AFC Championship game. I'm not fully confident that the Chiefs are going to be able to figure, you know, out with all the questions that they have. You know, we'll revisit this, obviously, in August at training camp to see where they're at. This is my all-time hedge right here. I would love to see a Houston-Cincinnati. These matchups, these four teams that I picked – any of those four teams win the Super Bowl next year, I'm not coming on here fired up. I'm all fucking pumped up because one of those another four teams. Like, Crisco think about that. Podcast. Think about that. Three of the four of those teams have never won a Super Bowl. And that's what I'm about. Give me somebody new to win a Super Bowl. Houston, Cincinnati, and Detroit have not won a Super Bowl. So give me that. Give me that.
See, I'm not I love Detroit. I love what they stand for, like the team stands for and kind of like that working atmosphere. But I think they might take a step back. But that's a story for a different day. It's an argument for a different day, at least. Me and Burge could probably fill a whole podcast, but on just that premise alone.
We'll be standing up arguing that. We'll be standing up with throwing our headphones down if we argue that.
But on the NFC side, yeah. You guys, I like the Packers a lot. I think I talk about coach quarterback combo a lot when I pick teams, and I determine kind of futures and who I'm going to pick. Love and LaFleur look like they're going to be a good match going forward here for at least a little bit. And then you know, it's hard not to bring up the fucking 49ers. And I think a lot of people are writing off a team like the Eagles, but I think sometimes teams get bounced and then the next year they get bounced early, they get upset. And then the next year they come back and they have kind of a rejuvenated sense of like determination and a little bit more locked in. I mean, I think, what was it? The 2010 Patriots lost at home in the playoffs. to the Jets that drive to nowhere, and then they came back in 2011, and a team that had no business going to the Super Bowl goes to the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? So, but I think I want to go in a different direction on the AFC side. I like Stroud. I want him to do well, but I think that's the classic team that kind of caught a lot of people off guard this year, punched a lot of people in the mouth that might be taking maybe a step back to earth this year. But who am I to say they won a playoff game? So you never know. They might be CJ Stroud could very likely be him. And I have not accounted for that yet in my algorithm of this conversation. But yeah, I hope they get back there. And I was as soon as Hogan spit out the whole fucking Bengals Joe Burrow comeback player of the year parlay, it got the gears turning. You know who I think is gonna do who might do that next year? The Jets, the Jets, the
okay, New York Shiloh Jets. Homer.
Dude, Aaron Rodgers has a fucking Ferrari. All he's gotta do is wear a seatbelt this time. You know what I mean? Like
I totally forgot about that team. That team is loaded.
I think that Miami and the Bills could very well take a step back. Even if the Patriots take a step forward, they're still going to be ass. They won't be super ass, but they'll be ass still. Maybe like 6-11 or like 7-10 ass instead of 4-13 ass. You know what I mean? Frisky, not dangerous. But so I could see the Jets winning the division. I could see them getting home field in the playoffs. I could see them maybe even getting a bye. If Lamar Jackson isn't healthy, you still have the Bengals will probably get off to a slow start because Joe Burrow's injured. KC's getting off to slow starts and slower starts every fucking year. And you could see the Jets come out and get shot out of a cannon after they finally got their big fucking fish from two off seasons to go back. So, even though I fucking hate the Jets more than any other fucking franchise, like my nightmare would be that Aaron Rodgers comes back, throws for 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and they go deep in the playoffs, and he wins comeback player of the year, and they have some kind of like an AFC championship or Super Bowl run.
Yeah,
that defense is legit. That defense for the Jets, they're young too, because they're getting better.
Yeah. They're gonna get that, better. That
Williams and Sauce, all those guys. It's funny because I'm so stuck in my mind of the Jets being like a poverty franchise that I just never even like think of their relevance. And then I honestly completely forgot they have Aaron fucking Rodgers on their team until you said that for comeback player of the year. I was like, holy shit. I completely forgot he was in New York because of what happened.
For me, like you go back to what you said, Joe, about coach quarterback combo. I'm not sold on Robert Saleh as a head coach. I think he's great defensively, but I'm not sold on him as a head coach. And I'm definitely not sold on Nathaniel Hackett as an offensive coordinator. Yeah. He's had success with Aaron Rodgers in the past. Aaron Rodgers is a year older, coming off a pretty bad injury. So I'm a little bit skeptical on them. You very well could be right. Let's see how the offseason goes with, you know, what they add to their team. But you said it, Hogan, like their defense absolutely is legit. They have a lot of talent on the defensive side, and they have talent offensively too, with Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall. So, you know, you could be onto something there.
Yeah, they just need to fucking get rid of like the Randall Cobbs and like all of fucking
his guys. Get rid of his guys.
Lazard, all them.
Yeah, dude, fucking figure out, dude, fucking was it Lazard or Cobb was like fucking inactive for the last like 8 or 9 games of this season. It's just like, dude, what are we fucking doing?
They're old. They're getting older. Yeah. Like Randall Cobb's got to be like 35 at this point. Like,
yeah. Wait, no, somebody told me the other day that Randall Cobb was like stupid young. Hold on a second.
I don't believe that for 1 second.
I actually remember Randall Cobb's first play in the
He's 33.
NFL.
He's 33.
He returned a kickoff or a touchdown. Yeah, against the Saints. I think that was back in like 2012,
2011. He'll be 34 at the start of next season.
Okay, still, that makes sense. For a football player, that's pretty old. But still.
That's old as hell for a wide receiver. Especially
younger than me.
Like a guy who plays in between the numbers.
Yeah. Who's your 2024 MVP, Joe?
My 2024 MVP? I think that we are gonna have another quarterback again. I think that I don't think Lamar Jackson is gonna go back to back. I think there's gonna be a little bit of Mahomes fatigue.
Mac Jones.
So,
okay, we're getting stupid here. We're getting stupid here.
All right. I'll see you guys next week.
I think that if they don't come, if the Bills don't come back to the Pack, I think Josh Allen has a really good shot at winning it. That's not what you want to hear, Burge, but I think that Josh Allen has a good chance of winning it. And then you know who I think also has a shot to win it next year is Dak.
Fuck the Cowboys.
Dak?
He was in the conversation.
You know they get. How many times that Tom Brady should have won fucking MVP and he didn't because they just get they just get exhausted. And you know how many times Jordan and LeBron should have won MVP, but Pete, they just get voter fatigue, dude. Like, yeah. You know why Jokic didn't win it last year? It's because fucking they got did Embiid win the MVP last year?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
So like, and they have Jokic fatigue. They didn't want to give him three in a row. Dude, they're not going to want to give it to Mahomes. They're not going to want to give it to Jackson. So you can just write those two players off no matter what kind of year they have.
Yeah.
Kojak.
Somebody.
MVP for next year.
Oh.
Pause.
Oh, I love him.
He's good.
You want a second? Great question. We can go to Hogan next. We'll go to Hogan next, and we'll go back to you.
Yeah, go to him, because I have one guy, but I want to think about why I want to choose him.
No, spit it out.
Let it ride.
I was going to say Tyreek Hill.
Ooh.
Okay. I love the non-quarterback pick, though. I love that.
Because he was going to hit 2,000 if he never got hurt.
Yeah.
Yep.
Dude, imagine if they upgrade a quarterback, they get like Kirk Cousins or some bullshit.
Absolutely. I love that. I love that pick.
I don't know, dude. Miami should have went after, not to like derail this, dude. I can't believe they never went after Brady or Rodgers. Like, dude, you're bringing in McDaniel, dude, and you give up two first round picks to go get fucking Tyreek Hill. Like, I don't know. You could have, if you got to go take a stab at quarterback there. I think that like this year with San Fran just shows that, like, dude, it doesn't fucking matter, bro. You need the quarterback, dude. Look at the last fucking how many quarterbacks to win a fucking Super Bowl, bro. Since Nick Foles, after Nick Foles, it was Tom Brady, fucking Patrick Mahomes. Matthew Stafford. But like, dude, Matthew Stafford's way better than Brock Purdy and fucking Tua. Matt Stafford is a first ballot Hall of Famer, and he's like the worst caliber quarterback you need to win a Super Bowl right now.
First ballot,
yeah, for what he did with
Matt Stafford is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yes, he is.
I guess if we're gonna go on the route of Kurt Warner getting in the Hall of Fame, sure, okay.
Bro, Kurt Warner won a Super Bowl, which
he was a backup for half of his career.
I gotta agree with Burge because I die on that hill that Kurt Warner doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame. He had three good seasons.
It's also 2023, so like
revolutionized the game. But no, he's not a Hall of Famer at the end of the day.
Yeah,
but no,
I'm not a huge Kurt Warner guy.
Hogan,
what's up, buddy?
MVP.
Okay, so I got two options for you here, and I'm gonna go with my gut feeling that I think it's gonna be Jordan Love because I think he's gonna take that step.
Ooh.
He's gonna take that step, and then if I want to go crazy. Which I kind of want to put some money on this if I'm gonna, just to see what I can hit for. I like a defensive player to win it for the first time next year since Lawrence Taylor. Give me Micah Parsons for Dallas. Let's go.
Oh, shit, dude.
20 plus
if he gets like 25 sacks.
20
yeah,
plus sacks. He's going to come out like a fucking man on fire. Give me either him or, and you know who got snubbed this year was TJ Watt, obviously. But I mean, one of those guys, if they break that sack record, give me a defensive player to win MVP.
How long has it been since we've had a defensive MVP?
I want to say 86 was when Lawrence Taylor won.
30 years. Yeah. Like, wow. Well, 40 years. Almost 40 years. Almost 40 years.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
That's
I think. Nuts. I want to say Lawrence Taylor was the last one to win it.
Yeah. When they won the year after the 85 Bears, so the 86 Giants, the one where Bill and Parcells won together, right?
Yeah. They won two. I think it was 86 and 89. Possible.
Bullshit.
Either way, if it's from the 80s, you know it's a long time ago.
Yeah.
We're old.
Just like Burge from the 80s a long time ago.
Hey, same here. I'm from the 80s as well. So
all right, boys. Well, Wait, what?
Wow. I don't get to give my MVP. I don't get to give my MVP.
Oh shit! No, oh shit! Nobody, you were dealing. Wow. You were dealing so many takes in between down. That I forgot to. Wait, I forgot to go to you, Barry.
Down, Joe. Down.
Wow.
My jokes are funny.
I'll be quick. Not only is he going to be the comeback player of the year, he's going to be the MVP, Joe Burrow. There you go.
I love that. Imagine.
No filler.
Imagine if they could. That would be sick if he could win both. That'd be cool. We need more duel. We need, like, I think Cam Newton was the last one to win MVP and offensive player. Oh, maybe it was Mahomes that year. He threw like 50 whatever touchdowns.
Yeah. The year they won the Super the year they lost to the Patriots. So that was the year. Yeah.
Lost the championship game. Dude, that's when Mahomes, yeah, that's when you were like, holy shit, this kid does crack in the huddle. Like, this is fucking unbelievable how this kid throws the ball. I've never been a hater. I was lying before. I fucking love Patrick Mahomes' play. The only time I've been hating on him is when he plays the Patriots. Anyways, boys, it's been an absolute pleasure to enjoy this football season with you guys. Hogan, I'm glad we scooped you up for a championship run here. You've been an unbelievable, seamless addition here. Kojak on the ones and twos. Really want to shout out to you doing all the work behind the scenes. It's a thankless job. I'm not going to thank you on the podcast. I'll thank you behind the scenes, but, no, thank you for everything you
pause.
Do. Burge, the opportunity that you brought to Kojak and I was unbelievable. So, this is a goodbye and is it not a goodbye? It's a see you later. We'll be taking you guys through the postseason here. Me, Burge Hogan with Kojak on the ones and twos, but Burge, like I said, The opportunity you brought to us here was unbelievable. I love what we've created. I love what we what our plans say going forward, what we want to do going forward. So I just want to open up the floor to you guys. If you got anything you guys want to say, wrapping up the season, wrapping up the first season of the pod.
It's been an absolute pleasure. We've had some very spirited conversations, you know, throughout the season. Disagreed, agreed, but it's been absolutely a blast to talk football with you guys. I'm so glad that we linked up to do this whole thing. I look forward to bringing this, you know, through the off season. We'll have tons of content through the off season. You know, we don't intend to stop doing the pod through the off season. You may miss one or two of us at a time throughout the off season because of schedule commitments and all that. But, you know, I'm excited that, you know, the sky's the limit for what we're doing. You know, we got some great ideas for what's going to come through the offseason and into next year. So be on the lookout for that. Kojak, love you, buddy. I love razzing you throughout the pod, but, you know, absolutely great. Joe, I love screaming at you. We have a great time. And Hogan, I got nothing to say. Like,
say something fucking nice. Say something nice. Dude,
you've just been ragging on your boy Hogan ever since you brought him on. This is bullshit.
I'm trying to fucking
love.
You don't
hit folks with
gosh darn respect.
Burge is nice to Hogan.
Gosh darn respect.
Whoa.
It's been nothing but negative.
Whoa.
Positive only.
It's Fat Tuesday, Burge. Have some respect.
What respect? What respect? I get chirped in the chat all day since we brought this guy in. I'm just kidding. You know, I get chirped all the time, but it's great. Hogan, you know, you're one of my best buddies. I'm so happy that you're joining us on this journey. We've had so much history talking football and watching games, you know, going to bars, watching games and doing that whole thing throughout the season. I'm super pumped to have you on board with us. And I'm excited to see where we can grow with the four of us. I really am. I really am.
See, that didn't hurt, did it?
It does Jeez. Hurt. It hurts Jeez. A little bit. I think I had a little bit of a heart attack saying that, but it's all good.
No, for me personally, guys, even though it's been a short, you know, 2 weeks for me, obviously, but I appreciate the three of you more than anything, giving me a chance to come on here and talk some football and razzle Burgess up some more than I usually do. It's always a blast to do that to him. And he always knows I'm messing with him. He is one of my best buds. But Kojak and Joe, you guys are you're climbing up that ladder. I can't wait to talk more with you guys and become best buds with you too. This is awesome. Like you were saying, I'm excited for the off season. It's just football's just getting started, baby. The Super Bowl is over, but we got free agency, we got draft, we got everything, and we got everything in between. So let's fucking do it, boys. Let's do it.
I'll just say this, Joe. I know you're moving. Good luck with the move. Good luck with the move. It's a big step for you. So good luck. And
thank you, sir.
Really bummed that we missed out on the opportunity last night to get together, courtesy of the meteorologist. But
yeah,
you know, whatever. We'll make it happen again in the future.
Engine is alive and well, fucking yeah. pushing their snow propaganda.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, somebody get the bung. We're gonna plug this thing up for the BTP boys. My name is Joe, alongside Burge, Kojak, and Hogan. We'll catch you guys next time.
Later.
Peace.